Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless.
When I was in my younger days, my early 20s, I was engaged to this wonderful Christian girl. Not my wife. It was somebody else. And we didn't have much of a plan. I hadn't gone to college yet. I was mostly working odd jobs. And I lived in this trailer with four other guys. At least it's actually hard to get an accurate count of how many guys lived because it was kind of an open door policy. So people just kind of shuffled in and out. But we were in love and we were going to get married. Or so I thought. The big day was fast approaching, and I still had a lot of stuff I hadn't worked out. But a couple of weeks before the wedding, like weeks, she dumped me. And I was completely, completely devastated, right? Because when she told me, it seemed to come out of the blue. And I was shocked. I didn't know what to do. We were actually at a friend's house. We were kind of setting up. There was going to be a party there later. And I went into one of the rooms of the house, and I just sat there for hours, devastated. Because all of my dreams, all of my ideas about my future just went poof in a puff of smoke. And I was too stunned to even cry, at least then. I hung out in that room for a couple hours, and then I slunk away out of the party, and I went home. And so it was later that night. I lay in my bedroom, and I just bawled like a baby. Just bawled. You know, ugly crying until I was exhausted. Like, just exhausted. You know how if you have a really good cry, you get tired and sleepy? And I didn't have any more tears. And I was about to fall asleep. But, you know, I just felt numb and empty inside. And I was ready to sleep, but I'd been working my way through this prayer book, Operation World, where you pray for a country every day. And I kind of wanted to keep that commitment. So I opened my book, and I read about the country, and I don't remember what country it was. And I started to pray. And it wasn't even about my feelings or the relationship or anything about myself at all. It was about this country and clean water and teachers and the local church there. And it didn't take long, but I just felt the Spirit of the Lord in the room, comforting me, renewing my faith, showing me that I had a future, and that what God had planned for me was better than what I just lost. I mean, it didn't stop me from being sad. I was brokenhearted. But at that place of brokenness, it was just like this mystical, magical, enchanted encounter with God. And I had hope, despite being sad, that God was going to do something. This morning, we're going to be continuing with our series on enchanted faith. And we're going to be looking at the story of the Spirit of God swooping down and renewing hope for a brokenhearted and desolated people. So, let's pray, and we'll get started. Holy Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth that is revealed as we study your scripture. We pray that like any time we encounter you, Lord, we walk away changed. We walk away with the world a little brighter, with more hope, with more faith, stronger, and more certain in who you are and who we are in this world. In Christ's name, amen. Now, we're going to be looking at a vision by the prophet Ezekiel. And when this vision was given, Israel didn't exist as a country. It actually barely existed as a people. The people of Israel were the descendants of Abraham, who were told by God that his descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the sky, a great nation chosen by God to bless the world. And that promise hadn't come to pass. Like I said, they weren't even a country anymore. They were conquered spread across, taken into captivity. Actually, Israel was barely able to maintain its existence as a kingdom. It lived for years as just a scattering of different tribes, and they finally kind of formed themselves into a kingdom. But then after only three kings, they experienced the civil war that rent the kingdom into two. Right, Israel in the north, which later became known as Samaria, and Judah in the south. And these brother countries kind of lived in a persistent state of conflict. And then the northern kingdom, Samaria, was defeated by the Assyrians, and Judah was defeated by the Babylonians, and both the peoples were evicted from their lands, taken into captivity. Right? So much for God's plan. All the promises and potentials of Israel was wasted through their disobedience or self-centeredness, their ineptitude, and you can read about it through the prophets that were warning them, get your act together. This is going to happen if you don't get your act together. They didn't listen. And they were a failed people. And Ezekiel was a prophet from the kingdom of Judah, and much like the young boy Daniel, who was taken into captivity and became the prophet Daniel. But Ezekiel was taken captive as an adult. And he was not favored by the Babylonians. He kind of lived in a Jewish ghetto in the southern part of the empire. And so with that kind of setting the scene, let's read Ezekiel 37. And we'll start at 1 and 3. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Now, back then, when a person died, they were placed in the family tomb, and the body was just left to rot. And little critters and bugs ate away at the flesh. Okay, so they were put there. And then when the bones were dry, they would be put into an ossuary. It's this container where all the other bones of the dead relatives were buried. So it'd be a big pile of bones, everybody's bones all mixed up. So you're all together with your family. And these bones, they were very, very dry. Eventually they cracked and crumbled, because that's what happens when things get dry. They become brittle. And this whole valley was like an ossuary, right? Who knew which bone belonged to which body, right? They were just a mess. It's just a mess of bones. And so when the Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? There are a few things I noticed. First, God calls Ezekiel son of man. And actually, literally, he calls him son of Adam. Adam means red dirt, kind of like Edom or Esau. But it also means human, because God fashioned people from the dirt, and God gave them his breath. So God made Adam to bear God's image in the world, to be God's representative in the world. And these bones were a failure, right? Because they were just dirt. They no longer had the breath of God in them. They're just dirt now. They're a failure to live into God's original purpose. Because God created humans and said it was good, and he gave them dominion over creation to rule for God, in God's name, over the world, over the creatures, over the plants. And instead, humanity turned their back on God and rejected God's spirit and did not rule in God's name, but in their own name. And this valley of dry bones, it's kind of like the outcome of all that, of rejecting the breath of God, the Spirit. And all it is Adam, red dirt. Dirt. It's just the earth, not the Spirit. All right, let's continue. Verses 4 through 6. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know I am the Lord." So God was telling Ezekiel to prophesy. And to prophesy is to speak the word of the Lord. He even actually says, hear the word of the Lord. And God said that his breath, his ruach, which means breath and spirit, will come into them, and they will come to life. The bones, the dead earth, will be remade into God's likeness. Because, once again, just as the Lord did at the beginning of creation, God will take the Adam and give it his spirit. He'll take the land, he'll take the bodies, and he'll give it his spirit. He will blow his spirit into the bones, giving the dead a renewed substance, a renewed form, bringing them back to fulfill their original purpose. Let's continue. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So bone reattached to bone. Bodies were remade. Flesh and blood and tendon came together. And I assumed that the right bones went together, right? Right? That bones that had been broken were made whole, were reattached. But the breath of God was still not part of it. So the Lord commanded Ezekiel to prophesy, to speak the word of the Lord to the wind. And so the son of Adam spoke the words of the Lord. And the spirit of the Lord entered into the bodies, and then they were no longer just dirt, right? They were spirit and earth, a vast army of life, given the breath of the spirit, which enabled them to live and to move, and it gave them being. And church, this is a perfect message for the Sunday, which is not planned, because I don't plan things that well. For the week of hope, right? That's what this week is. It's the week of hope. Because too often we look out at dry bones in our lives. Because we live among dry bones, right? Dreams that have died, of unfulfilled promise, of potential that's been squandered, unmet expectation, loss of loved ones, relationships you thought would somehow be different, jobs that have turned into a dead end, hopes that have been beaten down for whatever reason. For whatever reason. And there's lots of reasons, right? You're just unlucky. Or, you know, maybe you didn't work hard. Or you were distracted. Or you lost track of time because you thought you'd have another chance. Or you faced an unforeseen obstacle. Or you had to just work twice as hard to get half the recognition because of race or gender or sexuality or age. Or perhaps you were blessed with a family, but you didn't realize how much work they were. Or kids just happened at the time you weren't expecting. Or maybe you faced unexpected tragedies, death or accidents, or even assault. Maybe you got stuck with drinking or drugs or something else. And there are a lot of reasons why we end up where we are. And some of those are for good reasons, and some of those are for bad reasons. Some of those are just, that's just what happens. But wherever you look, there are dry bones. Even places where you thought would be hopeful, sometimes you look and you can only see dry bones. Your faith life. Sometimes you look at church and you're just like, what are we doing? And you only see a dry bones. Sometimes you get discouraged, you get worried about your family, and you're worried, like, what's going on? What is with the choices that they're making? And you only see dry bones. Sometimes in your marriage, things just aren't working out. And it just seems like dry bones. Things just seem empty and desolate. We need something to save us. Now, the world will tell you that we need to buckle down, to keep trying, to stick with it, to find the strength within, to preserve, to remember our worth. And those are good messages, because no matter how strong you are, you're never going to be strong enough by yourself. This is a true story. When I was little, I was fairly strong, like little. And I could climb up things. I love to climb. So I would climb up things and climb up trees and hang down and jump off of things. And because I knew I could pull myself up, I never always wondered why I couldn't pick myself up. Okay? Like, as in, like, I thought if I could put my hand under my knee, I could lift myself up. Now, as you know, that doesn't work, right? If you try to lift yourself up, you're just going to fall over. I thought I could do it. I thought I was strong enough to, because I could pull up. I knew I had the strength. I didn't understand about gravity. Some part of me is always going to be touching the ground. But that's the way we are with our life, right? We think we can just pull ourselves up, pick ourselves up. We need help. We need something from the outside to give us a new vision, to restore or redeem, to re-enchant our lives. This is from the book Hunting for Magic Eels by Richard Beck, the head of the psychology department at Abilene Christian University, and one of the inspirations of this series. And this is a quote from his book. We all need the eccentric gift of worthiness. Trouble is, our culture keeps telling us inward, telling us that self-esteem is the pathway to mental health. We're told that cultivating a healthy self-esteem is critical to emotional well-being. And so we try to instill self-esteem in our children, our loved ones, ourselves, attempting to nurture a healthy self-concept. But let me ask some questions. How is this working out for you? How healthy is your self-esteem? How about you and your children and your loved ones? How do they feel about themselves? The data here is pretty clear. While America is the most affluent nation in the history of the world, our rates of anxiety, depression, suicide, and addiction are all skyrocketing. We are not doing very well. We are a deeply unwell society. And what's gone wrong is that the marketed cure is a poison. Our problem is self-esteem, because at its heart, self-esteem is an evaluation. How am I measuring up? We answer this question in two ways. First, we compare ourselves to others. Am I as thin as Mariah? Do I make as much money as Anthony? Is my marriage as happy as Blair and Jordan's? And so on. And second, when we're not comparing our lives to the lives of others, we judge our self-esteem by assessing our performance and meeting our goals and expectations. Isn't that kind of harsh? Self-esteem will not save us. And to be clear, self-esteem does have value. Right? Be able to see clearly has value. It's just not salvific. It doesn't save us. Because we need to root our esteem to something on the outside of ourselves for it to have meaning. What gives that self-meaning? That's where we need the Holy Spirit to blow into our lives, into our circumstances. Because we need a new life to be born again and to be given life again, abundantly. We need Jesus. He is the hope that gives value and worth and beauty into our lives. So I don't know if you know this, but when God commanded Ezekiel, he called him the son of Adam. And that was Jesus's favorite name for himself. That's what he called himself the most, son of man, son of Adam, a new person, a new life that's offered. And God kept telling Ezekiel to prophesy, to speak the word of the Lord. And what is the word of the Lord? What is the word of the Lord? Jesus. Jesus is the word of the Lord. That's the beginning of John's gospel, right? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Ezekiel spoke Jesus into the bones. He spoke Jesus into the bones. Church, in the season of hope, right, of Advent hope, we need to speak Jesus into the bones of our lives, into the bones of our community. We need to speak Jesus saying, there is hope in this world. We need to speak Jesus saying, there's life here, right? We need to speak Jesus saying, there's hope in this church. We need to speak Jesus saying, there's life here, right? We need to speak Jesus saying, there's hope in our relationships. We need to speak Jesus saying, there is life here. We need to speak hope, right? We need to speak Jesus saying, there's hope in our future. We need to speak Jesus saying, there is life there. There is life there. It's not just dry bones. And that's what we're celebrating this season. God's not dead, right? We are no longer living in a world of dry bones. We do not have to live in the world of dry bones. We live with live bones, because there is beauty and magic and wonder still, right? And the Spirit of the Lord is blowing through this world, crying, Jesus, 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 all throughout this place. Breathing life, mending dreams, giving a better vision, a bigger vision. Okay? To the failed people of Israel, no. Your people are not a failure. Your people has a future. You're going to go on. You are still a blessing, right? To us, to our families, to our friends, to our relationships. No, 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 no. Things look bleak. You still have a future. There is still a future. God is blowing in here. Jesus is still at work. Okay? God is not dead. I love that hymn, the do you hear what I hear, right? And that's what we hear. We need to hear Jesus. We need to hear Jesus. We need to learn how to listen for that. And that's actually what we're doing all throughout this series, is we're taking some moments to hear the name of Jesus in our lives. Right, to feel his healing presence in our lives. This entire series, we take 3 minutes at the end of the sermon to prayerfully examine our week. And you can do this all the time. You don't have to do this just on Sundays. But so sometimes you get distracted, you just need a little help. We'll spend 3 minutes every Sunday asking ourselves these questions to see where God is breathing on the dry bones in our lives. Where have I felt true joy? What's been troubling me? Where's God challenged me? Where has God's presence been in all this, right? We're asking ourselves, where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? And we're recognizing it. And we're letting Jesus fill this place, because sometimes those things that were dead have new life in them. We just don't recognize it yet. We just don't know it yet, because we've been moving on. We've been bemoaning. We're just walking past. You know, this is a true story. I've had plants that I thought are dead because I cannot keep plants alive. And my wife can't keep plants alive, but she tries. Don't tell her I said that. But so we think that they're dead, and we walk by them like, okay, they're dead. And then, you know, the come spring or whatever, like, you're like, oh, look at that. There's a leaf there. There's something there. But we're walking by it, ignoring it. We need to give ourselves time to see the signs of life, to see how Jesus is at work. So, for 3 minutes, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to set a timer. I try to remember to push start every time. And we'll ask ourselves these questions. At the end of the 3 minutes, I'll close us by praying our Advent scriptures again this week. Let's pray for Jesus. Let's listen for Jesus. All right. Please join me in some silent reflection. 3 minutes, starting now. Like I always say, I know 3 minutes isn't that long. Sometimes some of you are just getting started. Some of you were, you know, done 2.5 minutes ago. But it's a chance for us to reflect, because God's working in your life, whether you know it or not. God's at work in you. God's at work in your world, in your valley of dry bones. I pray you learn to see it. I'd like to close by praying Isaiah 9, 2, and then 6 through 7, which is the Advent reading for this week, over us. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.